Morning. Thank you, Pastor Sean, for your prayers for the word, and we welcome you all again to service today. We have a number of visitors. We pray that the Lord will bless you as you worship with us today. In the letter of James, chapter 4, and we're going to read those first 10 verses again. That'll help those who haven't been with us in this study give some context, although our focus today will be verses 8 to 10. James chapter 4, and we'll read from verses 1 through 10. What causes quarrels and causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and you do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on all your passions. You adulterous people, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it's to no purpose that the scripture says he yearns jealously over the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? But he gives us more grace. Therefore it says God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And then our text for today, verse 8 to 10, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. This is the word of God. Verses 8 to 10 of James chapter 4. And so we continue our study in the book of James. And we started last week with the section from 6 to 10. And James has, you may remember from last week, identified pride as that root cause of sin displayed in the hearts and in the lives of some of the members in these churches in dispersion. And there's some harsh words today. There have been harsh words in this book and many sins condemned in writing to the churches, a reminder to us that there is remaining sin and the battle is not over and we need to do the things suggested that we may be commanded, should I say, that we may be better equipped for the fight before us. This grassroots sin stirs up the passions with war within our members. We noted the desires of the flesh and the desires of mind, covetousness, jealousy, selfish ambition. These things are all in direct contrast to godliness and pure religion. Pride renders us, unfortunately, helpless to humble ourselves before God and to submit ourselves to the commands of Christ and the demands of the gospel. And as we will see today, pride will also keep us from drawing near to God and having God draw near to us. For as we saw, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let me remind you, last week in verses 6 and 7 of our text, we observed there a wonderful thing, God's solution, the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that gives us more grace when we humble ourselves. And that's the gospel solution to our pride. Humble yourself, and he gives us more grace. And as we humble ourselves, we look to the example of the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of glory, who came to earth, and as the Son of Man, He was not proud, though he was great and he had every reason to be. But he was, as the Son of Man, was gentle and lowly in heart. And he humbled himself, as Philippians tells us, and submitted himself to the will of God, even when that will of God meant going to the cross. He humbled himself, and even to obedience to death. The gospel solution to the sin of pride, of jealousy and selfish ambition, is a humbling of ourselves. And last week's sermon was, proud hearts and stubborn wills are put to flight when we take the gospel remedy and humble ourselves. We had 2 points last week. Take the grace and humble yourself. That's the answer. God gives us more grace to the humble, to those who humble their hearts and come before him and bow down to him. And secondly, submitting to God, which follows humbling yourself, means to submit yourself to God, to his word. And that, the text implies, automatically resists the devil. Who tries to get these passions that are at war in our souls to flare up? It says, no, humble yourselves. Submit yourself to God. And submitting to God resists the devil. This humbling of ourselves leads to an abundant supply of grace. God gives us more grace. You say, but I received the grace of God in the Lord Jesus Christ when I was saved. Well, is there pride in your heart? Is there selfish ambition in your heart? Is there the me problem, the I? Everything revolves around me, my circumstances, my afflictions, my ease in this life and the next. No, we need that grace, and that grace is multiplied to us when we humble ourselves. And in doing so, when we submit ourselves to God, we are renouncing the devil, and we resist the devil as we confess Jesus Christ as our Lord and King and our Master. And submitting to Christ doesn't mean we bow our heads like this and humble ourselves. Submitting to Christ means that we obey him as he obeyed the Father. And that act resists the devil. And the promise is he will flee from you. All those passions that come up, the sins of the flesh and the sins of the mind, those we resist when we humble ourselves. Those we resist when we humble and we get more grace, and then we submit ourselves to God, resisting the devil. That's the first part of the gospel solution in this passage from verse 6 to 10. Today we continue to see the gospel solution to pride in humbling ourselves to God, and we are given a clear path to restoration. If any is without pride here today, then this is not for you. If you submit to God perfectly, then the sermon is not for you. And if you're here today and you've never bowed the knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and humbled yourself and your sin and come to him and submit to his word and his law, which says believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, then the sermon is for you today. Here is a path to restoration. Our sermon title is A Path to Lifting Up, as we focus our attention on verses 8 to 10, if you would. Once again, we just have 2 main points, and it's not a long study today since we split our study into 2 parts, so you can easily pay attention in the short time ahead of us. Number one, 2 main points. Number one, straight from the text, draw near and be cleansed through true repentance. Draw near and be cleansed through true repentance. Verse 8 and 9 says this, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. And then there's a cleansing. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched, mourn, and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. These are strong words to the church. Here we find, however, one of the beautiful promises of Scripture. And it is this, it's a simple promise. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to us. If we draw near to God, he will draw near to us. It is like paradise that was lost in the Garden of Eden. It is the possibility of drawing near to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the believer, this ought to be the most coveted place for you, is near to the heart, near to the throne of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the scriptures don't give us a command that we cannot keep. And the scriptures don't give us a promise that he will not honor. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. For the believer, this is the most coveted place to be. Like Moses, who talked to God face to face, though hidden from the face of God by Shekinah glory. No, Moses communed with God, the Bible says, as it were, face to face. That wonderful saint of God, Enoch, is known, he's very little is known by here about him, except this. Enoch walked with God. He drew near to God. And he didn't die. He didn't die. The Bible says the Lord took him away. Why? Because he walked with God. Because he was near to God. And the Lord drew near to him. And then, of course, at the beginning of time, when God created man in the Garden of Eden, what do we read there? That the Lord God walked with Adam in the cool of the day and talked with him. He drew near to God. This is the psalmist's most coveted place. And he pants for this like a thirsty deer pants for water. He desires God. And the psalmist longs to be near God. Psalm 73, but for me, it is good to be near God. I have made the Lord God my refuge, that I may tell of all your works. This is the place where the believer loves to be, near to God, in spite of his sin. The psalmist was full of sin. David was a particularly bad one, wasn't he? He had a really bad fall in his life. Psalm 27, verse 8, God has said, you have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, O Lord, do I seek. And this is the desire. This must be the heart's desire of every believer in spite of your sin. You can come, and the Bible says, no matter what you've done, you can come and draw near to God. And as we consider the many sins addressed in James by this church in dispersion, and here in chapter 4, the great sin of pride that prevents God's grace from abounding in us, how then, we must ask, do we draw near to God? How do I, as a sinner, draw near to God when I fail him? When I see sin in my members and the passion at work within me, and we have good days and bad days, but how do I draw near to God? And Hebrews chapter 10 answers this question in the same way our text does. Let us draw near to God with a heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Draw near to God. Draw near to God with a clean conscience and be washed. Drawing near to God can only happen when there is full assurance of faith. We need to believe as we have on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when through the blood of Christ, our hearts are sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies are washed with pure water. And what does our text say? The same as Hebrews. How do we draw near? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Do you see what the Holy Spirit says to us in James? It is the very humbling of ourselves. It is the submitting to God, to his holy word. and to the word of Christ. It is this that prepares us and gives us more grace. That is what is promised. It is this submitting to God that resists the devil and the sin within our members. This, though a command to us, like the command to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and the command to be born again in the scriptures, is a sovereign work of grace of the Holy Spirit. So how do I draw near to God? I draw near by humbling myself and receiving more grace. How do I draw near to God? By obeying Him. It's not a mystical thing. It's not a thing that happens when you come to church and we close our eyes and it's good music and sometimes you feel like just swaying along and you get caught up in the moment. It's about obedience to the word of Christ. It's about obeying the gospel of Christ. And the gospel of John, we studied this together, makes it clear we can only come to Christ. How? As God the Father draws us to His Son by His Spirit and causes us to believe on Him. It is only through His Son that we can draw near to God, and it is through repentance. That is what is said. Wash your hands, be cleansed, you sinners. Mourn for the sin that is in you and in the church and in your heart and for those passions. The acknowledgement of our sin, humbling before God. Now, willingness to submit in obedience to the will of God brings us back to God by the giving of more grace. God, in other words, draws us to Himself. And so He says, draw near to God. How do I do this? Because I've submitted myself to Him. I've humbled myself to Him. I've submitted myself to the Word of God. And He gives me more grace. And I can come as He gives me more grace. And God invites every proud heart to come to Him. Draw near to Him. God invites those overtaken by envy and overcome with the desires of the body. And we all have our moments, don't we? And the desires of the mind, and like Diotrephes, who always wanted to be first. Don't we all suffer from these sinful syndromes from time to time? Brothers and sisters, there is no sin the Lord will not forgive by the blood of Christ in His children. And the children of God sometimes do terrible things. And it seemed there was even murder in the book of in this letter of James in the dispersion. There was certain quarreling and fights and passions flaring up. God forgives by the blood of Christ. And He restores us daily in repentance, through repentance, by drawing near to Him as we submit, as we humble ourselves before God. This is the gospel, brothers and sisters. This is what we rejoice in. We are not pure. We are not perfect. We are sinful and we fail in thought and word and deed. Every day we are God's children. We love Him and we want to be like Him, and yet we fail Him. The gospel says, come to me, says God. This is the gospel of His Son. And the biggest call is the call of God that says, come, 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 expressed by God through the prophets of the Old Testament, repeated by Christ in His own words in the gospel many times. It's a gracious, it's a merciful invitation to every child of God. What a gracious call also to the lost, those who have not yet believed, from every tribe and kindred and nation. Whether you're Russian or Chinese or New Zealand, no matter what you've done, the gospel says, come, come. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come, draw near, come with your sin. I just want to sort out my life. There's a couple of things I really need to sort out. Come, come, says the gospel. Come unto me, says Jesus, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Jeremiah calls on God's people in chapter 3 and verse 22. Return, O faithful sons, I will heal your faithlessness. God says that to you, child of God, no matter what you've done in this week, no matter how you've wandered from Him, no matter how you've denied Him in your life, no matter what sins there have been in your heart and in your mind, return to me, O faithless sons. I will heal your faithlessness. Behold, we come to you, for you are the Lord our God. And brothers and sisters, never tire of coming to Christ. Renew your faith in Him. Come with a full assurance of faith. Humble yourselves before Him. Submit yourselves to God. Receive that more grace that allows us to draw near to God. He commands what we cannot do, and then He enables what we cannot do, and He answers a promise that He has supplied in the first place. We are not only invited, but we are commanded to seek Him and to draw near to Him, and then we are promised He will find us. He will find us. He will be found of Him. Jeremiah 29, verse 12 says, then you call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. You will seek me and you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. I will be found of you, declares the Lord. I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I've driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from which I sent you into exile. Yes, this was to the exiled children of God, but even more so, this is the gospel call and the call to the wandering, sinful saint of God to come. Come humbly, come submitting to God, come in repentance, and He will find you. He will draw near to you. It's a simple promise, brothers and sisters. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. He does not judge and condemn those who draw near, no matter how great the sin. He washes and He cleanses. He purifies our heart. He takes away that double-mindedness of divided loyalties, how we divide our loyalties every day. We serve the passions of our flesh, and then we serve God, and we worship God, and we forget we need to pray to Him. We serve our pleasures rather than God. He gives us, when we come, when we draw near, what does He give us? A fountain filled with blood. He does not bring a stick to chastise us. He restores us, and He gives us a fountain filled with blood. He gives us more grace, the grace of heartfelt confession and true repentance for our sin. And Church of Christ, draw near. We are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, as the hymn said, who like us His praise should sing. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Oh, we don't like people saying that about us. Be wretched, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Brothers and sisters, these are not harsh words, though they should be. These sins do not condemn us, though they should condemn us. These words are uttered by a gracious and merciful God who desires to be close with us and makes it so. By giving us more grace, as we humble ourselves, as we submit ourselves through the blood of Christ. And this is not just the gospel call to the unbeliever. It's a gospel call to every child of God. Believer, just come. Just come, unbeliever, and believe in the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ by faith and through repentance. Even that, a grace given to us. He truly gives us more grace when we humble ourselves and when we come and when we submit and when we confess our sins and repent of our sins. Christian, what do? We offer confession and repentance. Christian, what do? We hate our sin. We live in this repentance every day because there is more grace every day. Brothers and sisters, this mourning and weeping, this gloom and darkness of our sin will be washed away, and in the morning there will again be joy, and God will be there, because he said, draw near to me, I'll wash and cleanse, I'll give more grace, and then I'll be there. As he raises you up and says, come, come, rise up, your sins are forgiven. Surely this is one of the lessons of the old covenant. I've always wondered, since the blood of sheep and goats and bulls cannot purify our sins, and it was a shadow of Christ to come, yes, it's wonderful, but they had to do it every day for their sins. They had to come week after week and offer more blood. Come and wash, come and cleanse, come and offer sacrifice for yourselves, for your priests, for the priests, for yourselves, for everybody, today, tomorrow. Come back every day. Come as long as there is sin. Come in confession, come in repentance every day. And except for the sacrifices, we must still come every day. We must still draw near to God. But here is the true beauty. Our great high priest has offered himself as a sacrifice once for all. And that cleansing blood washes away our sins every day, cleanses us every day until he comes. And so the writer to the Hebrews encourages the saints. He says in Hebrews 10, therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holiest place by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, he says the same thing. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. It is that simple. It is that possible. Come, draw near to God, afflicted saint. Draw near to God, sin-stained saint. Draw near to God, repetitive offender, over and over again. And there, when we draw near, there when we humble ourselves and receive more grace, there when we submit ourselves to the word of God, there where we see repentance, what do we find? The fountain filled with blood that washes us from our sin. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. We observe in a second and the final place another blessed truth for those who humble themselves before God, for those who submit to the lordship of Jesus Christ in their lives and who daily draw near to him in repentance and in faith for cleansing. And here it is, namely, number two, a bowing down before God will lead to a lifting up. A bowing down, a humbling of ourselves, a submitting of ourselves to God, coming in confession and repentance and in faith, these things that bring us low, a bowing down before God will lead to a lifting up. There's two very great promises here. The first is that God will draw near to us. And now the promise is, though I'm but a worm, though Paul says I'm the chief of sinners, I'm the worst offender, though Peter says I even denied my Savior, if we bow down before him, he will lift us up. Look at verse 10. It's a simple verse. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and not only will he lift you up, he will exalt you. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. He's already talked about humbling yourself, and James renews the call to that which he gives us more grace. That's where you find grace. So humble yourselves, and you get more grace. He renews it because it's paramount. You cannot come to God in pride. You cannot come to God in self-sufficiency. You cannot come to God with your good works and says, I'm a lot better than my neighbors have been. I'm a lot better than the average American SB. You cannot come to God with any of those things. You cannot come with a haughty spirit. You must come humbly and bow before his gracious and holy presence. And that's why James repeats it. There is no other way to come. There is no other solution to covetousness, to jealousy and selfish ambition. We observed this last time. How can I say that? God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the psalmist David, he didn't even come forward with his sin. Nathan the prophet had to point out to him via a little parable that he committed adultery and he would not own it. That he committed murder to cover up adultery and he would not own it. And he is brought low and he humbles himself and he submits himself to the word of God, and he cries out in Psalm 51, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love." Because here we have no rights. We can only appeal to the steadfast love of God in Christ Jesus, and that's a certain. And that's a certain. "According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." And if David was a New Testament saint, he would say, "According to your abundant mercy, in the cross of Christ, blot out my transgressions." Let's not miss this gracious promise to those who humble themselves, those who submit themselves under the mighty hand of God, those who draw near. Here's the promise: he will exalt you. No matter how bad it is, no matter how bad your case is, no matter how great your affliction is that brings you low, God promises, "Draw near to me, I'll draw near to you." Humble yourselves again under the mighty hand of God and he will exalt you. Christian, he has lifted you up positionally in Christ. He has already done this. And that's a deal you can take to the bank. It's a letter with a police stamp on it. He has lifted you up and seated with you in heavenly places. That's a promise. In covenant, Christian, he lifts you up every day from the dust and ashes of confession and repentance, as he does here today as we partake of the Lord's Supper this afternoon. He lifts us up as we confess sins. Christ declares to us, "Rise, your sins have been forgiven." And what is declared every week and every day in the gospel will one day be perfected at our final lifting up. And Ephesians writes in chapter 2, Paul writes, as though this has already happened, because positionally in Christ it has. What does he say? "But God, being rich in mercy, because the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in Christ in heavenly places, so that in the coming ages he may show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus." Are you seated with Christ above? No, you're sitting here in La Mirada, but positionally. You have already. And brothers and sisters, on that day, the more grace that he gives us daily will become the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness towards us in Christ Jesus at our final lifting up. And it's final because we will be perfect. We will be like him. We will shed off this body of death and we will get the new resurrection bodies. And there will be no more sin. Then we will no longer draw near for more grace. We will no longer humble and submit ourselves to him and come in confession, repentance. There in glory we will finally be exalted. And John in Revelation saw a vision of this. This is going to happen. Chapter 21 and verse 3. John says, "And then," right near the end, "then I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling of God is with man. He will dwell with them, literally. Yes, God dwells with us and he is here, but we cannot be in his holy presence until we've been resurrected with our new bodies. There in glory we will finally be exalted. This is for all those who humble themselves. These precious promises. All we need to do is humble ourselves, putting aside pride and envy and every evil practice, and who submit themselves to the commands and the will of God in Christ Jesus, and who draw near to him every day. We don't have to come to church every day, just draw near to him. How? By humbling myself. How? By obeying the gospel. How? When I do that, I get more grace. I get more grace. And that is drawing near to God. And he draws near to us. These are wonderful words. These are wonderful promises for the believer. But we must, however, issue a solemn warning here to be faithful to God's word. And the warning is this: if you do not humble yourself under the mighty hand of God in this life, and I don't care who you are or how important you are, if you're president of the country, here's the truth. If you do not humble yourself before God in this life, the hand that you will feel as a mighty hand. Submit yourselves under the mighty hand of God. That gracious hand on the last day will be a mighty, heavy hand in judgment, where you will be judged for every thought, for every sin, for everything that you've ever done wrong. If you have not submitted and bowed the knee to Jesus Christ in this life, on that day, judgment. If you will not humble yourself before God, if you will not bow the knee to Christ, if you continue to stand in your self-righteousness and pride and say, I'm going to roll the dice, I haven't been that bad, if you do that, God will humble you under his mighty hand, and he will judge you. And you may lift yourself up throughout this life. You may better yourself, and you may be proud, and you may be a self-made man. You may lift yourself up throughout this life, but there will be a final, irreversible humbling. And what will the saints get? Those who bow the knee will be exalted. And what will you get if you refuse to bow the knee before God? You will get an irreversible humbling with no chance of lifting up, but only just punishment. The eternal justice and wrath of God that was poured upon Christ for us. But if you are not in Christ, if you do not humble yourself, if you do not submit yourself to the call of the gospel, if you do not come in repentance and in faith, if you do not draw near to God, having received more grace, you will be forever brought low. God will never again call you to draw near. He will never again issue that call, will never again draw near to the sinner. There will be nothing more terrible than what will be felt in hell, eternal separation from God with no end in sight at all. It will be a final state. Consider Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 12. For the Lord of hosts, yes, this gracious, merciful God, the Lord of hosts has a day against all that is proud and lofty, against all that is lifted up, and it shall be brought low. Humble yourself, or you will be humbled and judged. A great lesson here as we close from King Nebuchadnezzar and his life. He was bursting with pride. Let me read to you from Daniel. Just listen, needn't turn there. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. Is this not great Babylon, which I built with my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty? He didn't need God. He was great. He had power. He had everything. While the words were still on the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you is spoken, the kingdom is departed from you. You shall be driven from among men, and your dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. You shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time will pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he will. Immediately, the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among men. He ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with dew of heaven, till his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers. His nails were like a bird's claws. And then you go down to verse 34, that chapter in Daniel, at the end of days. The end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me. And I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, for all his works are right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride he is able to humble. And brothers and sisters, friends here today, Nebuchadnezzar was given a second chance. He was given a second chance, a final chance, and he humbled himself and he took it. And he was given more grace and he honored the King of heaven. He drew near to God and God drew near to him. And I say to you, friend, today may be the last time you hear the call of the gospel. Today is your day. Humble yourself to submit to the King of all ages and receive grace. On that day there will be no reprieve or mercy shown, only divine justice, and all who refuse to humble themselves will find God to be a consuming fire. Don't delay. And Christian, draw near with joy. Draw near to God every day, and he will draw near to you. Humble yourself, submit yourself to God. Here's the truth, my friend, and I close with this. Hebrews 9:27 assures you if you refuse to humble yourself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and then comes judgment. Don't put it off too long. Don't put it off at all. Only bowing down to God will lead to a final lifting up. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will exalt you. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we glory in the cross of Christ. We have no boast but the boast of Christ, our Savior. We have no forgiveness but the forgiveness that comes with the cleansing blood of Christ. Oh Lord, help us to hate our sin. Help us to humble ourselves daily. Above all, help us to submit ourselves to the word of God and the commands of Christ. Help us to live as those who have a debt to settle that we can never settle. How we thank you for the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all our sin. And Lord, we pray that by your Spirit, those who have not humbled themselves will today call upon your name, will today humble themselves and cry to you and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Give me more grace that I too may draw near, and you through the blood of Christ will draw near to me, for we pray in Christ's name.